And that was Paro, essentially, and the Kohanim, which he couldn't touch. Why did he do that? Why did he do that? Because Yosef knew that he knew that, as we showed, and Chazal pointed out, and we mentioned before, was that the Egyptians really were always trying to undermine him, because the jealousy was so powerful that this stranger should come into the land, and Paro is going to raise him to the Sheni Lamelech. And they who live there are reduced to they're under his authority. So they constantly, Chazal show when they reading between the lines in the Psukim, how they were constantly trying to undermine Yosef. So Yosef knew that the only way that he could really gain success is really through reducing their economic power. So he used the halomos and the rationing system to reduce the economic power of the people, so that the power should reside essentially in Paro, and one part was in the was with the he couldn't take away from the Kohanim, and that's where the parsha concludes. Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Mitzrayim Beretz Goshen Vayeochazuvo Vayifru Vayivumad. So his plan was successful. If he had not done that, the Bnei Israel would not be able to thrive. So his plan worked. He used his chachma and his knowledge of psychology and his knowledge of how economics affect psychology in order to guarantee his family, Klal Yisrael, the Achei Yosef, the Mishpachas Yosef, the Bnei Israel, that they should be able to be vayifu vayibumo, they should be able to be successful. It says Beretz Goshen vayeochazuvo vayifu vayibumo. So they had a sense of power and ownership. You see, vayeochazuvo. Why? Because the Mitzrayim lost their economic sense of power. It's an interesting thing. That was what he accomplished. But it's interesting, Yahadus recognizes that idea, and that idea of Yosef HaTzadik is really expressed in our system. A very significant idea in the system. And that is, if you take a look at the idea of Shemitah. So what does the Pasuk say by Shemitah? So the Pasuk says by Shemitah, and Vayikra and Bahar Chof Hei Chof Gimel. The pasuk says, "Va'aretz lo simocher litzmisus." The land cannot be sold forever. Why? Ki liharetz. Ki gerim v'soshovim atem imadi. Rashi says, "Ki liharetz." He says, "Altera encha." But don't feel bad about Shemitah. She'ena shalach. You don't own it. Ki liharetz. Ki gerim v'soshovim atem imadi. So you see, this idea of the sense of economic power that a person experiences from private ownership of land, Yahadus recognized Yosef's idea. His idea was true, a very deep part of human nature. And what did Yahadus do? It made only one Adonai Haaretz, and that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kili Haaretz. So even though essentially the system of Yahadus is a capitalistic system, you have private ownership, Torah respects private ownership to the nth degree. Din Torah on a puta is chashuv as a din Torah on millions of dollars. Doesn't make any difference. Private ownership and bailus is yesod in Yahadus. What was nechtam? When nechtam gzadinim alav gezel, because they went and they stole shavim pachim shavim puta by the Dora Mabel. But One restriction is one compromise. Man is compromised in his private ownership. That the sense of economic self-worth can never be transferred to the ego and the self-aggrandizement of man. Kili chol haaretz, and the Adon haaretz is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's Shemitah. So the idea of Yosef HaTzadik was correct. It's a deeply rooted concept in human psychology. And the Torah took it and not only endorsed it, but made it a mitzvah shmita. A mitzvah shmitas karkos. But Shemitah isn't just another mitzvah. It's interesting. Mayan Shemitah away to La Sinai. Shemitah is not just another mitzvah. It's a tremendous yisod. Where do you see it's a tremendous yisod? Does it see in the Tochacha? What does it say in the Tochacha? Oz tishbo sa'oretz ha'shapso seho. Eisa shelo shovso. The apostle... Vayikra chavav mamadavar. Oz tirtza oretz ha'shapso seho. Kol yimei ha'shama. Va'atem beretz oivechem. Oz tishbo sa'oretz ve'hirtza ha'shapso seho. Kol yimei ha'shama tishbos. Eisa shelo shovso. B'shapso seichem. B'shiftechem oleho. There's two psukim. And that's the whole tochacha is based on the fact that that you didn't keep mitzvah shemitah. What's all right? A lot of mitzvahs. Well, what does mitzvah shemitah stand out? Because what Yosef HaTzadik recognized in human nature is a truism, and Yahadus took that idea and incorporated it into a mitzvah shemitah, which is a yesod. Is a yesod in the whole. It's a yesod in Yerushas Arts. There is no Yerushas Arts if there is no Adonai Arts, HaKadosh Baruch. So Kilichol Arts is a condition for the whole idea of our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. If there's no Kilichol Arts, so then there's no ownership. It is totally zebozer. Because otherwise the ownership is self-aggrandizement. Then it's just bailus ha'odom, and bailus ha'odom is a fantasy and illusion. So if there's no kilichol aretz, there is no Eretz Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. That idea was transformed into the yisod of Yerushas Aretz. That's the whole underlying yisod. See the pasuk. The whole thing is totally on Shemitah. That's why it's measured, how much they were on Golas is measured, Keneged the Shemitah, the 70 years, everything was because it's Hainuach, it's totally Zebazah. That was the idea of Yitzvah Tzadik. So let me get back to the, so now let's get back to the question of, what's the sum of the whole situation? Do we believe in privatization of property, or don't we?
Yeah.
The answer is that Yahadis believes in private ownership. That's the whole Shulchan Aruch, whole Chosh Mishpat. I mean, that every, to the nth degree, to respect the person's right of ownership. But the right of ownership cannot bring with it a false idea, which is the worst idea that man can have, and that is that ultimate bias is his. That's false. So therefore,
isn't that
absolute is capitalism, 100%. That is capitalism. Capitalism is that you are the ultimate byline. That's what it is. The capitalist system is one in where you control the economy. In other words, the economy is not controlled by private endeavor. Over here, every individual is free in terms of his own private ownership, his business, the amount of wealth he can accumulate. On the contrary, we hold the Birkas Hashem, is Ashiras, Yerecha Hashem Yishmerecha. There's no limitation in terms of your, no one is allowed, in a system that's non-capitalistic, essentially, the government really controls the money. You could make as much money as you want, the government steps in and simply, and just takes it from you. That is against Yahadis. In other words, The Bolshevik Revolution is against Yahadis. I mean, you're taking private ownership, and you're simply removing the idea that the state owns everything. That Yahadis is against. The Yochid has a right to ownership, but that ownership should reflect a false notion of man's power, of his power through his economic wealth. That Yahadis does not permit. That's why in terms of living in the land, there are serious restrictions. Why are the restrictions insofar as the land is? Not, there's no restrictions in terms of your personal wealth. Personal wealth, no one can take away from you. You accumulate all the money that you want. And I mean, there's a chiyuv of maisers and shuls, but essentially it's not a highly taxed system. not a very highly taxed system. And your own private wealth is respected. And ve'la mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. And Bezin has to go down to the nth degree. What's yours is yours. But what the Torah recognizes is that capitalism has a very dangerous aspect to it. And that's what Yisro Tzadik recognized. And that is that capitalism can lead to a false notion about man's very existence, the nature of his existence. That the Torah derides. That the Torah does not permit. That the capitalistic sense of self-worth, where the individual self-worth becomes a philosophical aberration, that Yehadis does not allow. And that's Kilichal Oretz, Kigeret Hashem Matan Mari. So does a person have rights? Sure, a person has rights. He has rights insofar as money is concerned. He has rights as long as he recognizes ultimately Kilichal Oretz, Liyah Kesef Liyah Zov, that he's not an ultimate Bailam, but he is one who is placed in charge of his own fate, his own destiny, because he has Bechira, and he has to use his Chachma in terms of directing his financial state. Betzela Chachma, Betzela Kasef. That he has to use his Chachma in terms of the financial as well. For what end? For what purpose? So that he should live in accordance with the correct system of Yadas. But Yehadis put a very serious restriction in terms of the emotional in private ownership of land. Nothing. You do have, there is private ownership, but the private ownership has a certain restriction. Yes, it's nechlak l'shvatim. I mean, the Yerushas Oretz. And you do have ownership, but not absolute ownership. Absolute ownership is kiluchal Oretz. But private ownership is not obliterated. But it's private ownership within a certain framework. Like I said, Yahadus is that's why Ata Echad V'Shimcha Echad Min Kam Kaisor Goy Echad Ba'aretz. It means this is a different Ummah. This Ummah is tied not to notions of economy, not to notions of style or culture. It's tied to one idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Goel Yisrael. That's how the nation emerged. And the nation exists only with the proper ideas in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Capitalism, in terms of private ownership, of course, we respect private ownership. But, kilichal aretz, man is an owner, in a certain sense he's an owner. In a sense, he's an owner. He's an owner because he has to be the master of his own fate, because he has bechira. So that's why he must have economic freedom. Without economic freedom, so then you're... And then the person wants to be, on the contrary, what does the Pasuk say? A person that wants to be in heaven wants to remain in the house of his master. So we say that we do Ritzias Ozen. Why? Because Ozen Shoshoma Al Harsinai Ki Libanes Ol Avadim. This person wants to be dependent on another individual. Serfdom is against Yahadis. Because serfdom means you have no independence. Now, financial independence a person must have. But to allow economics to lead a person to a state of mind where he becomes overawed with himself and he transcends the border of what he is as a creature, that Yahadis will not allow him. That Yahadis will not allow him. It's an interesting thing. You see, there's another emotion that's very closely tied to that as well. I mean, if you go and you travel and you see the various mansions in this country, I mean, like in Miami, like for instance Vizcaya, so you see the unbelievable wealth in the structure. I mean, the mansion of the Deere, John Deere, you know, I mean, the great industrialist. So what is it? You wonder. You walk through the mansion. You want to say, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of this big building? Basically, the man, he wasn't married. He had no children. And the house, I mean, far exceeded anything which a human being would need, you see. But what is the answer? What's the purpose of the building? The building is really a temple to him. That's what it is. It's a temple to the industrialist. This is the great man. He is the great power. And that's why that building far outlasted his own short existence. You see, far beyond. The fantasy outlives the man. But it's interesting. Again, does Yahadus recognize this idea? The idea of building a structure to greatness? Yeah, Yahadus does recognize that idea. It's interesting. Well, you see it in the Shira. It says, Oz Yashem Moshe Ovinei Yisrael Zashir Zosla Hashem. And it says, Ozi Vizimras Ka Vayehi Lilishua Zekeli Vianveyu Elake Ovi Varoman Menhu. So Tirgum Unkelus says, Tokbi Vishbachti Vechilar Hashem Va'ama B'memre Vahavali Lefrok. Then he says, Zekeli Vianveyu. How does Tirgum Unkelus translate? Bein Elokai Ve'evne Le'magdisho. Ve'evne Le'magdisho. This is my God, and I will build a Beis HaMikdash for him. So we, the emotion of man to build a structure that's a temple for himself is ugly, and the emotion of man to recognize the godless HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to have a desire to build a Mikdash, that the Mikdash should reflect that there's only one Geus, Ashir Hashem Ki Go'o Go'o, and that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's a legitimate expression. So economics, the idea that the nature of man to build something to express greatness is not by the Torah frowned upon, but it must be directed properly. If it's to build a temple to himself as a financial success and his greatness, that's despicable. But to build a binyan so that when a person walks in it, he recognizes Aziv is Imras Kaw, Zekeli Van Veil. The emotion is not a bad emotion, but it could be either directed towards a total distortion and fantasy and illusion, or directed towards the truth, which is that Evne Le Magdisho, Zekeli Van Veil, that reflects godless Adam. That's godless Adam. That's the same. You find the same concept. Yes, that Cain was missed. That's right. That Cain was a misdirected. His concept of ownership was really for the self. That's why the Rambam mentions was Kanisi. That's why his name reflected that idea. Best of the his carbon was from the worst, not from the best. Because it was for himself. That's correct. That's right. Now that again shows the idea that the economics reflects a person's attitude in general, not just the financial matter. That Yahadus, I mean, you see, Yahadus holds it in tzedakah. What is it? Why is tzedakah so? L'chunov and ivocha yamar Hashem. And you chateren kashel yabino. That this is the one case. Why? Because economics is where an individual's philosophy is expressed. That's what Gemara says, Kol Komish, a person doesn't give tzedakah, is kilo over the Zahara. Over here it says, Yatzel Anashim B'nei Belial, and over here it says, Pen Yed Dovel Lofa Belial. So Belial means Belial, it means who's Avodah Zahara himself? That's the biggest Avodah Zahara. So Yahadus recognizes that idea. It's an interesting thing. It says it recognizes the concept of economic power, and the sense of economic power, and the danger that economic power brings to man in terms of false ideology and corrupt views which destroy society, and on the other hand, the ability to use the economic power for good, which is for the highest, Zekele Van Veil, that a person should have a desire, Zekele Van Veil, the Evne Le Magdisho, that's what he should feel, like David Melach said. How could that be? So you see, he was the one that actually had the true sense, not a false sense. Many people are religious, but it doesn't come from a real true deep understanding and knowledge. The one that had that knowledge and that understanding and the true desire for Binyan HaMikdash was David HaMelech. Ayyadei David HaMashiach Sikhan. He was the one that had the idea of Binyan HaMikdash, because he embodied the whole concept of Shira. The Sefer Tilim is all Sefer Shira. And he was the one, the only one, that was Roy to have that idea, to live that idea correctly. Because Baruch Hashem, you can't build it. But hey, Tavtoki Hayam of Avecha. You had the right idea. You were the one that all your emotions were channeled and directed based upon your chachma and your knowledge, and that desire was the pure desire for Binyan Mikdash. Zekeh Levan Vech, that was the one off. Yeah. Yeah, Rashi says, V'smichas gula l'tfila romza David b'sefer tehillim d'chsivat Hashem tzuri v'goli v'somach le yanchor Hashem b'yom tzara. On the contrary, that was from David HaMelech. It is from David HaMelech. It's made a point that it's saying. That's, you find, that's what Rashi says right there. So let me just return now to what we were speaking about before, with Yosef HaTzadik. So now it's an interesting thing. So Yosef HaTzadik really was the great genius in terms of understanding economics and the human psychology, and he worked out a situation for Klal Yisrael. But there's one thing. There's one problem. The problem is that his whole economic innovation really not only fell apart, but it turned on the people that he tried to benefit. You see? Because what did he do? Who did he give the power to? He gave the power to Paro. So at that time it was wonderful, because Paro liked Yosef very much. So he respected him. But that didn't work out. It really, like I said, not only collapsed, it turned against the very people he was trying to save. Why? Because that's what the pasuk says. Right after the beginning, right after Sefer Gula, after the very first parasha, by Yochel Melech Chodesh HaMitzrayim, Asher Lo Yodas Yosef. So what is our pointing out? Here Yosef took Paro and gave him all the power, but now look what happened. So now he has all the economic power, and now he decides that he's going to persecute the Jews. So all the power that he got now helps him in terms of the persecution. Rashi is interesting. Chazal mentioned Rashi mentions that who hischil beitz tefila. Chazal saying, who is chul be'etzah tchila? I get heard of it. The one that started the persecution was Paro. He was the one that was maschil be'etzah tchila. Hovan is chakmalo pen yirbe. And that's why Chazal say that when it says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the plagues on Mitzrayim, he was plagued first. V'chol v'amchol v'chol avadecha yalla atzvadim. V'chol, he was singled out because he was maschil be'etzah. Who gave him the power to accomplish what he accomplished? Unfortunately, it was Yosef. You see? Amazing thing. So as a matter of fact, you see, it says, why does it say chok? When it says previously, it's a chok ad hayom hazeh. Alad masmisan. What does it mean ad hayom hazeh? It doesn't mean today. Ad hayom hazeh means whenever you read the Torah, in terms of the framework of the Torah, that was the case. So when you get to Shmos, you shouldn't think there were changes in Mitzrayim. But that was the same case at that time. See, Ad Hayom Hazeh means in the framework of understanding the Torah. So if it wouldn't say Ad Hayom Hazeh, it could be that Yosef did that. And then what happened with the economic changes? I mean, things change over time in governments. But no, Ad Hayom Hazeh means that continued. So when you read Parsha Shmos, you should know that economic innovation of Yosef was still there. So it means he had the power, and because he had the power, he was able to use that power on the contrary against Klal Yisrael. And that's why the pasuk says also, Miskinos Lefaros Pisonos Ramses, to show that the power was, the financial was in his hands, because who did they work for? Him, for the Pisonos Ramses. So it shows you that he had the economic power. Others say, okay, have a button, let them work for the people. So Paro became a greater power because of Yosef, and because of that he was able to enslave Klal Yisrael. Who his chul beitzah tchila? If he didn't have, if it weren't for him, he couldn't have the whole avdus. It's an amazing thing. So now the question is, when you think about Yosef, so the question is, did Yosef think at the time that he was the great economic genius and that he secured the future of the people, you see, through his ingenuity? Or did he not think that way? So what's the answer? Where is the proof that he didn't think that way? Where is the proof that he did not think that he really saved the people with his brilliant mind, with his brilliant chachma? No. But where do you see it? That's correct. Where he says, "Vayash by Yosef es bnei Yisrael em apoko yifkaro akim eschem valisim es atzmosai nizeh." What did it mean? He knew. He knew very well that what he did was only a momentary action, a temporary state. He was able to secure it was a great endeavor, but it was only a human endeavor, and a human endeavor is very limited. The same great ingenious endeavor that brings success, and the next situation can bring catastrophe. And Yosef HaTzadik, not only did he know it, but he wanted the people should know it. That the people should know it. So that's why he said, "Valisim es atzmos ha-mizeh." He said, "I don't want to go down in history as an individual who was a great genius and was able to understand psychology and economics with a rationing system and was able to bring about tremendous state for Klal Yisrael. He saved his people, he saved his people, and that he thought that he is really the one that brought about, that will bring about, play a role in the Gola." No. He did it because his Chochmah dictated that he act that way at the time. But he knew, as great a Chochmah as he is, and as great a knowledge as he has, and being smarter, more intelligent, more learned, more Chochmah than anybody in the land, Enavon v'chacham kamocha, is the greatest Chochmah in the world, and what he did, he accomplished, but he knew that's only a human endeavor. Momentary, temporary. And he knew that the very accomplishment that he brought about could, in a very short time, turn and bring about the greatest disaster, greatest catastrophe. Alisem, that's why Vayash by Yosef is B'nai Yisrael Emor. That he knew that he is not a Goel. He's only an individual. He's only an individual. And he only can function with the Das that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, and the situation of Chachma that he was heir to through Yaakov Avinu. He was able to accomplish a tremendous thing, but only momentarily. So that's why it says, incorporated in the Geula, in the very first parsha of the Geula, that's why it says, "V'Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim." What does it mean? "Hu Yosef She'omad B'Tzitko." It means Yosef is very important as an entity in the Geula. Why? Because Yosef shows that a person can be, he was the person that was on the perfected level where he realized that man cannot bring about Gula. Man has nothing to do with Gula. He could be the greatest genius, he could bring about it, he could save people momentarily, but in the future, the very accomplishment that he did can turn and become the worst catastrophe and bring about the worst enslavement for hundreds of years, the worst disaster. So the Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim. That's why Rashi says that the Pasuk, by saying Shivim Nefesh and then saying Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim, teaches you something else. That Yosef was the one that did not want to go down in history as an individual who took pride in his accomplishment. But he was the tzaddik. He was the person that knew, whatever I'm doing is only right now, only momentary. The true Goel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pokod yifkod elekim eschem. Valisem es atzmosai mizeh. Yitre. So the Pasuk, so Yosef was, and that's why Yosef really was the individual that represented the perfection of man insofar as the true attitude of a human being towards the Ula. And that's why the Pasuk says in Bishalach, what happened when everybody was going around collecting, you were going to get the money from the Egyptians? Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imal. Yashbeyash biyash b'nei Yisrael leimor. Pakol yivkar lo kemesta. So Yosef was the individual, he was the individual that was a part of the Geula. He was the individual that Amad b'tzitko. It's interesting. It says, Rashi says, Hu Yosef Aroah son of Iv. Hu Yosef Shoibim Tzrayim v'nasa melech v'amad b'tzitko. What does it mean? It means he was Roah's son of Iv. But if you remember, by Roah's son of Iv, he was really not so perfected at that moment. That time he was Balachalomas, Nebalachalomazabah. He was before he was able to reflect on his own nature. We mentioned he did a lot of things that weren't right. I mean, the Mesapolash and Har, different things. But of course, he didn't do it. He wasn't done under Bechira because he didn't yet analyze his personality. It was before he analyzed his personality and his nature. But once he analyzed it, he saw the truth, and the truth was a part of his life. Every moment, every emotion was under that idea. That he overcame his own narcissistic fantasies, and he was Omei Bitziko, and he never had as much power as he got. He was Rotzon Aviv. He had certain fantasies about himself. But then he was Nasa Melech, and in spite of the fact that he was Nasa Melech, which is the greatest Nisayan for personal success. That's the biggest Nisayan. Personal success is the greatest Nisayan, because that's the most blinding state for man. That's where the soul of man is totally blinded and can't see the truth anymore. So that's what Chazal said. He was Nasa Melech, the most successful person in the world. Yosef ben Shloshim Shana, Bamdal of Neimara, Paro of Neimara, Vasani Yitzay Yosef Aleretz Yisrael, and he was they took him in all the covered Malchus, 30 years old, was taken over the whole land of Mitzrayim, he was an Adon, the Pharaoh of Chol Mitzrayim. But nevertheless, it did not affect him. And he knew he is not a Goel, he's just a temporary, momentary accomplishment that he was able to bring about. So that's why the Atzmos Yosef are part of the Geula, and that's why they were mentioned, the Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim. So Rashi mentions this. Rashi always mentions things that are tied to the essential Mikra. So at first sight, it seems like it's not Pshut HaShem. Why is Rashi mentioning it? No, because it's an essential theme. The theme is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Goel, and conversely, man, the greatest man, the greatest genius, is not only not a Goel, but he could be responsible for a total disaster. And Yosef knew that. And that's why the Atzmos Yosef, Vayikach Moshe es Atzmos Yosef imo. The Gulas Mitzrayim is not complete without the individual that represents the perfection in Gulas Mitzrayim and reflects the true idea of Hashem Tzuri V'Galali. Okay, you know, Dynamias pointed out that, see, from the Parsha of Vayechi itself, you would not know that Yosef every moment was in line with reality, because you see, if you look at the Parsha, his powers were reduced. But the Yosef Hoya B'Mitzrayim tells you that who Yosef never lost his tzitkus. So the Yosef of Mitzrayim teaches you that even when he was under the influence of the great success, he still was attached to the true ideas. That's Yosef Mitzrayim. And the truth of the matter is that that's the only reason why they had to take him out of Mitzrayim, because the Avos had to be buried in Maror HaSamach Pela. But he, why did he have to, what was necessary for him to be taken out of Mitzrayim? And the answer is because he reflected the law. Let me say that we're talking about the sense of economic power. And the fact that Yosef HaTzadik switched the economic power from the people and he gave it to Paro. And for his generation that was fine, but then it really turned on him, because then he had the economic power and was able to enslave Klal Yisrael. And therefore, he knew it, Yosef HaTzadik knew it, and that's why he said, Pako Yifkaro Lekim Eschem Valisim Es Atzmosai Mizeh. And that's why he's incorporated in the first parsha, the parsha of the Gula. Because Yosef was really the individual that recognized before before the occurrence that the only Goel is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he was really the man of the Gula. He was the man who, in spite of the fact that he had such unbelievable success, was able to recognize that his economic ingenuity, his economic genius, was very good for one generation, but it turned on Klal Yisrael in the second generation. He knew that there was a dangerous thing. So he was the man that knew in advance. There's a medrash that says, by the way, Medrash Rabbah, I don't have it right here, but Medrash Rabbah that says that Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim because of the fate of the Achim, because of the sin of the brothers, and they were Nigal only because of the Tzidkas Yosef. And that was his tzidkus? His tzidkus was the ability to overcome the megalomania of man. That man, when he's successful and powerful economically, so it's very difficult for him to believe that, to recognize the limitation and how small his achievement is. And how, on the contrary, his achievement can really become a disaster. It's only momentary. Yosef was able to recognize that. And that's why, Valisim es atzmosai mizeitchem, that's why Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. Because there are really two individuals that the Gula was tied to. The main individual was Moshe Rabbeinu. But the atzmos Yosef had to go with him, because Yosef was the individual that recognized, never lost sight of the concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Goel, is the true Goel, even in the moments of when it would appear that he was really the savior of Klal Yisrael. And he recognized that just a very limited sense, momentary sense, he was able to save Klal Yisrael, but not ultimately. Ultimately, there's only one Goel, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Yosef was really the man of the Gula. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that brought about the Gula. Vayikach Moshe es atzmos Yosef imo. The atzmos Yosef was the kiyam zeh masha kasev hazeh. He was the Yosef hayah b'Mitzrayim, omad b'tzitko. He was a melech, and he's still omad b'tzitko. That's what we said last week. But it's an interesting thing. I think in passing we discovered something. And that is how significant, how the Torah recognizes the sense of economic power in man. And we call it a Chazal, because Chazal say on the Pasuk in Re'eh, yeah, we mentioned Shemitah. Yeah, we mentioned the whole idea of Shemitah. That the whole idea of Shemitah is that kilichol haaretz, and that the sense, an individual sense of economic power, has to be attributed only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why the ownership of the land is limited. Because that's the mark of a capitalistic society, is ownership of land. And in Yahadus, the ownership of the land is kilichol haaretz. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu owns the land. And that's why Shemitah is so significant, and that's why if they don't keep Shemitah, then Klal Yisrael is removed from the land. The Shemitah is the condition, the sine qua non of Eretz Yisrael. That's why it says, V'shofso os tishbos haaretz, v'shofso shofso sel. That's what we mentioned last week. But it's interesting, this theme, I think, the theme that we've uncovered over here really is a very broad one, and ultimately it concludes in a way that you could just about, I mean, summarize the whole philosophy of the Torah. The main, two main trends in the Torah. It's an interesting thing. Because Chazal say on the Pasuk, we're in Re'eh, just a sec. Re'eh, it says like this, Re'eh Tesvav Zion. In the parasha we mentioned last week, Yevacho Evyon, Me'achar Achecha Bachat Sharecha, Asher Hashem Lekecha Nosein Lach. So lo sa'ameitz es levavcha, v'lo sikpos es yotcha me'achicha Evyon. Shifasoach tiftach es yotcha lo. You have to open your hand and give the poor man. Then it says, Yishom alocha opinia dovem levavcha v'liyah leimo, kor v'shnasa sheva shnasa shmito, v'roincho bo'achicha Evyon v'lo sikin lo. So Chazal say, why does it say Dovah B'liyal, in Levavcha B'liyal? So Chazal say, "Ksiv hosom yotzu anoshim b'nei b'liyal mikibecha." In the same parasha before, it says, "By irani dachas," where they cause the people, the whole, they cause people serve avodah zarah. Yeah, ki sishma b'achas arecha asher Hashem lekach nidos lach. Yotzu anoshim b'nei b'liyal mikibecha ve'yadichu es yoshvei iram lemar. The whole parsha of Irani Dachas. So Chazal say over here it says Belial and over there it says Belial. It's an equation. It's an equation that Belial is Avodah Zarah and Belial is also the refusal to give tzedakah. So the Torah Tmima says, he says very well, he says, what is the analogy? What is the analogy? So he says like this, why is it considered Avodah Zarah? Why is it considered avodah zarah? He says the inyan is damus zel avodas kachavim. Why is this equal to avodas kachavim? A person doesn't give tzedakah. Say mitnei ki inyan kol tzedakah shebatorah. All the tzedakahs in the Torah. K'mo leket shikcho peyak edoma. Hu leida shekol ma sheyesh lo adam eina shelo behechlek. Doesn't really belong to him in an absolute sense. Rag boyim be'ezer v'siyua me'akadosh baruch hu. It only comes with God's help. He says, and in order to demonstrate this idea, so Klal Yisrael is enjoined to give various tzedakas. He denies God's assistance and God's hashgacha. Vim kain who kaver kachavim, kaver kachavim. So, what is the definition of avodas kachavim? The definition of avodas kachavim is ascribing the source of your state, ascribing the source of your state to a false entity, to a false entity. That's really avodas kachavim. That's what it means. So either a person, there are two ways that a person can do that. Either he can ascribe it to an external force that's non-existent, a created force in his mind, a projection of his fantasy and his imagination, and that's avodah zarah, or else he can ascribe it to his own power. It's an interesting thing. I mean, these two themes exist straight throughout the Torah. It's an amazing thing when you look at it. You could say the Torah is against two things. Two ways of life the Torah is against. The Torah singles them out. One is the Avodah Zarah, projections of fantasies and illusions onto reality and ascribing the causes of one state to those false entities, those projections. And the other is ascribing a person's well-being to his own megalomania, his own sense of power, his own sense of economic power. The Torah singles out the sense of economic power. It's an interesting thing. That's the equation Belial, Belial. It's not just happenstance. Belial, Belial, it means Belial. There are two forms of the Belial. Where do you find that the Torah puts it together? Puts them both together, almost in the same pasuk. It's in Shiras Hazino. It's interesting. In the Shiras Hazino. Really, Shiras Hazino, on the surface, I mean, the main criticism in Shiras Hazino are three things in Shiras Hazino. It's interesting. One, the first criticism is that an individual's relationship with God is based on a false and infantile basis, and that's in the pasuk Hal Areshem Tigmaluzos Am Nova V'Lochama Shiches Lo Bonav Mama. That a person has a tendency to think that if he does a mitzvah, he's doing God a favor. And if he does an avera, he's doing something spiteful. In some ways, he's affecting God. That is the first criticism of it. It's an amazing fact that that is the first, the major criticism of Hazino. That Shichais Lo, you think that you are harming God, your Shchosses to Him? Lo, no, Bonav Moma. It's their own selves that they're harming. They don't affect the Kaddish Baruch. It's an interesting thing. That is the first theme in the Ramban. If the Ramban talks about it at length. Halar Hashem Tigmo Luzos? You think you're doing something against God? Am Navo V'lo Chacham. So the first criticism is that the Ummah, and this is the Shira Sazino, the Shira of the Ashgacha, that the loss of the Ashgacha takes place when a person relates to God in a false and infantile manner. It's an amazing thing. I mean, that's the Pesukim in the Torah. It's not Drush. It's the basic Pesukim in the Torah. Ramban elaborates on it. But you'll take a look at the Ramban, you'll see on that pasuk. Halad Hashem Tigmuluzos. That is the initial criticism. That a person is not willing to advance his knowledge in terms of how he serves God. And is willing to remain on an infantile level. There's an Ibn Ezra that says the same thing on the pasuk that says on the pasuk that says in the tochacha v'hoya pasuk says in Kisavo v'am chavches samach gimel, if it goes through all the horrible things that could occur to Klal Yisrael. It says, "Voyakasher sasar Hashem aleichem lehitiv eschem ulhavos eschem." Just like God was happy to do good to you and to multiply you, kein yosisar Hashem aleichem. So God will be happy lahavid eschem to cause you to become lost, to destroy lahashmir eschem, to destroy you. The strange thing, really, just like God was happy to do you good and to make you multiply, so he will be happy to destroy you. Well, what does it mean? What does it imply? So the Ibn Ezra says, Ibn Ezra explains, he says, Shelo Tachshov. He says, the Tam Kasher Sos, Shelo Tachshov Ki Yazik Lashem. Says, don't think it's going to harm God. Oh, Yisabel, or that God's going to feel bad. Ketam in tzedaka matitin lo. So he says, because the pasuk says, if a person does mitzvahs, he doesn't help God in any way. And similarly, if he does averis and the person destroys himself, it doesn't affect God. And that's really the Kasher Sos. That's why it's just like you shouldn't think that God. That's why the pasuk dibetak lashem ayanam. Torah speaking like lashem ayanam, but it's conveying the idea that just like he was sos lehitiv eschem ken yosis lahashmir eschem lahavid eschem lahashmir eschem, to destroy it. I mean, it doesn't affect him in any way. So you see that's really the very first criticism in Hazino. But then in Hazino there are two more criticisms. Two more. And these two are exactly what we're talking about now. Where it speaks about the Chesed Ar Hashem, but then it says like this. It says, it's in Lamed Beis, where it says, Chemas Boka Vachalev Son, Imchelev Korim Ve'elim B'nei Voshen Va'atudim Pasuk Yudalet. Imchelev Kil Yoschito V'dam Meinov Tishtechom. In other words, in other words, all the brachas that God gives Klal Yisrael, Yakeveh Boma Seyoretz, Vayochal Tnuvo Sodoi, Vayenikeh Dvash Misela, Vashem Mechal Mishsur. But then the pasuk says, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot, Shamanto Avisa Kasisa. So what's Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivot? It means that the moment that he became successful, so he started to ascribe the success to himself. Klal Yisrael started to ascribe the success to themselves. Vayito shelo kaso, vayenabel tzur yeshuaso. Then the next pasuk, yakni'u bezorim beselevos yachisu. Yizbuchu la'shedim lo aloha. Elohim lo yedom. Chadoshim Mikarav Bo Lo Son Lo Sechem. Then it says, and then it describes that they went to Avodah Zarah, to Yizbuchu Lashedim Lo Aloha. Lo Aloha Chazalsa. It means that they're worthless. They're absolutely empty, nonsensical type of things. In other words, one thing, a person does something wrong, but at least there's some sense to it. Well, there, it's simply stupid, no sense. So, the Avodah Zarah, basically. So you see the Torah in basically two psukim, the Torah goes between these two criticisms. And the criticisms really go back earlier. Moshe Rabbeinu really elaborates earlier, the whole parasha on that, really. The parasha is in Veschanon Zion. The Moshe Rabbeinu, I guess, in Ches. Yeah. Just a second. Ches Yir Aleph. First, before, is an introduction. It starts with Kol HaMitzvah. Okay? Kol HaMitzvah Shinech Mitzvah Chayim Tishma Lassas Naman Techen Revisam Vezachatos Kol HaDerech Asher Holicho Rashim Lekecho Zeh Abom Shana Bamidba Lamana Noscho Lanasoscho. Come back to that. What I mean. Lamana Noscho means in order to make you suffer. Lanasoscho, to test you. Lodas Asher Bulvovcho Asishma Mitzvosov and Lo. Vayancho Vayarivecho. So there was an inui in the mon. There was an inui. Why? Yeah, but it's an interesting thing. So fine. I mean, that's, I understand why vayachil chasamana shalay yadata. But what's vayyanecha vayarivecha? Vayyanecha means it caused you to suffer pain. Vayarivecha, and he made you hunger. Vayachilcha samana shalayadato. What is that a reference to? I'll come back to that in a moment. But take a look. It says like this. The pasuk says, Yishamalocho. We're talking about this sense of economic power. The sense of economic power, which we say Yahadis is concerned with two things in man. That he be overcome either by Avodah Zarah or by his own sense of economic power. Those are the two themes really in the entire Torah. I'll show you that it's not just Agav Rocha, but it's central themes. From Shemitah, I mean, you see clearly. But you see over here, take a look at this parsha, Dvarim Ches. Yishom alocha pentishkach esad Hashem alakecha levil tishmo mitzvosov v'mishpata v'chukosov v'shanocha b'tzavcha hayom. So what does Pasuk say? What does Moshe say? Pentocha v'savata uvotim tovim tivne v'yashavta. Build beautiful homes. You'll have an overly ample supply of food. V'korcha v'tzonecha yirbiyun. You'll have much cattle. V'chesef v'zov yirbalach. What does Chayil mean? Chayil means wealth. Ozvu la'acherim chelam, kiryom batem oliyolam. Chelam means wealth. Targum says, v'seimar b'libach cheli yuskeif yidi kinoli yosnichsayah ha'ilein. These nechasim, it means the acquisitions, the material acquisitions. V'sidkar yosad Hashem lakoch arehu yoiv loch eitzo. So the person says, achatos Hashem lakecha kihu anosin lakoch koch lasos chayol Laman Hakimus Briso Hashem Nishbal of Sechakemazah. Means he's the one that gives you the amazing Tigrum Unkelus here. Because what is it? Tigrum Unkelus is bothered by the Pasuk. What do you mean? It means that of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everything. But over here it's a specific, it's not just saying everything you have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, we wouldn't exist without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is isolating, singling out a specific idea. So what is the specific idea? So Tirgum Unkelus says, V'sidka yasar Hashem alakach areyu yohev loch eitzol l'miknei nichsen. He gives you the idea, the advice, of how to be successful. What does it mean? He gives you how to be successful and how to gain acquisitions. So material wealth. So what does it mean? Where do you see that? What is it a reference to? I think the answer is that what it means is that since Matan Torah, you see, you cannot separate the way a person thinks from his environment and the way he was raised. And Matan Torah brought with it a special way of thinking, a derech, an approach to thinking. And that approach to thinking permeates every aspect of an individual's life. So that from Sinai came many things. One of them was chachma so far as business is concerned also. You can't isolate, you can't say that when I'm involved in the secular, that this has nothing to do with Sinai. That would be a lie, that would be not true. Because in Sinai you receive the derech hachayim and chachma in general. That's why the pasuk says b'tzela chachma b'tzela kasef. So I'll take a question about it. B'tzela chachma b'tzela kasef. It means that a person's success cannot be removed. The secular success cannot be. It's a big mistake people make. They mean the secular success can be removed from Yahadus. It's not true. And the fact that Jews are successful financially, they owe a debt to Sinai. And if they don't admit it, they're kafir. They're simply kafir tal. They're kafir, even the secular. Because it's a way of thinking, a derech of thinking, that a certain chachma. The Gemara says in Sota, ani chachma shachanti arma. So the Gemara says, even shenichnas chachma ba'adam nichnas ba'amumiyus. It means when a person becomes a chacham, so he gains a certain slyness. The Gemara puts it down. It's not a good thing. It's not always a good thing. To be sly is not a good thing. It can be used in a corrupt way as well. But nevertheless, the two are tied together. It's an amazing pasuk. The Gemara says, "Ani chachma shachanti arma." The pasuk says that kivan shenichnas chachma ba'adam nichnas ba'amumiyus. Person that receives chachma becomes clever, become sly. So the ability that an individual has in any area where he's successful, even if he goes off the derech, even if he doesn't abide by the system of Yadus, but where did he gain the chachma from? The chachma is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from Matan Torah. And the same thing is true in science as well. The same thing is true. It hurt me very much. I saw recently that a Nobel Prize physicist was criticizing the Torah. So he says that Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, "Kachnas binchas yichidcha asher ahavta." So he wrote, or they quoted him as saying that I would say to God that you're not ethical. Yeah. So first of all, in a certain sense, he's right. Because the Torah is the only one that said that man has a right to do that. Because Avraham Avinu actually should have read a little further. But Avraham Avinu said about Sodom, not about his own personal son, but about Sodom, Cholilo lachom e'asos kadavar hazeh, lachom es tzadik em rasha. So you see that man has a right to confront HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has a right to demand that he wants to understand what the Mishpat is. So that, on that score, I mean, he should have given credit to Avraham Avinu, to the Torah, that Torah recognized a person has the right to express himself that way. But his kasha, he apparently only heard about the story with Yitzchak, and he raised the question in a nonsensical way anyways, because it has nothing to do with, he's just repeating a famous question that everybody asks because they have no knowledge of the Torah. Namely, that it was not fair for Kachnas Binchas Yitzchak was not fair. First of all, if you read the parasha, you see that Yitzchak was really a conscious individual, and according to Chazal, he was a mature person, and he willingly sacrificed his life in order to create a Kiddush Hashem. So to say that that's wrong, I mean, in other words, then the person would have to say that there's no time, that a person should sacrifice his life. His life for any ideal is more. His life is more important than any ideal. That's I don't think anybody holds would hold that. On the contrary, so it's simply a very superficial and not knowledgeable perusal of the Torah. But aside from that, I mean, on the contrary, a Jewish physicist should feel indebted to the Torah. Because who was the one, which nation said that there are no powers in the heavens and that there's no mystical forces and ushered everything and said no astrology and no superstition and no magic and that everything stems from Chochmas Hashem? That's the Torah Yahadis. And which we were the ones that laid, the Yahadis is the ones that laid down the foundation for all scientific knowledge. So if he was fortunate that he was a Nobel Prize winner, who does he owe it to? He owes it, he wasn't religious, but he certainly owes it to the culture from which he came, which is as a culture at least, of Yahadus. Einstein was more honest. Einstein said that he's proud of the fact, and he recognizes Makir Tov to the fact that he comes from a nation, the only nation that recognizes study and knowledge for its own sake. That's an accurate statement. But to be critical is that's what the post says. Your multiple vocal kochi votsum yadi asaliasachalazah vizachartas at Hashem lekecha, like the Tehu Runkle says, ki hu anosim lechol koach lasos chayol. He is the one that gives you the eitzah. Arehu yoiv loch eitzah lemiknei nechsin. Where did you get the eitzah from? You got the eitzah from Sinai. So a person quickly forgets that. Because they become overcome with their own sense of economic success. That's what the Torah is against. The Torah is against two things. It's an interesting thing. Two things. That's the whole parsha over here, and that's the criticism in parshas. In parsha, there are three criticisms. One is the infantile not being willing to rise above the infantile idea of God. That's one. And two is Avodah Zarah, and the second is Avodah Zarah and the sense of economic power, you see. Those two. So it's three criticisms. But this is not a drasha. It's mikro. It's parshios netor. The Torah is against essentially two things. One is Avodah Zarah, And the other one is the sense of economic power, the human being's unwillingness to recognize the sense of economic power has to reside with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the pasuk Ki Li Chol Haaretz. Yes. What's going on? Because Sinai is where we received Chachma. Ani Chachma Shachanti Arma, Chazal say, what is Chachma? Chachma Zutar. Chachma Zutar. There's another beautiful Pshat in Chazal. The same Gemara, I mean, I got Lorcha mentioned. Gemara says, Ani Chachma Shachanti, because Machlok is Tanoim about, in the case, I don't want to get in the case of the Zotah, but the Gemara says another Pshat, Ani Chachma Shachanti Arma, it means, Arma means nakedness. Says Ein Divrei Torah Meskayim Ela B'mi Shemesim Atzmo Kilu Eino, as if he's non-existent. So that's the other piece of the Chazal. Now we recognize that Chachma itself can only be Meskayim in an individual who is Mesim Atzmo K'misheino, as if he's nothing, which means that there's no energy going into the self. The energy is directed completely into Chachma, into the source of Chachma, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful Chazal. But anyways, but the equation of Blial, you see, appears in the Torah itself, in the Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the Parshas Hazino, Yeah. I wanted to mention one of the Vayancha Vayarivecha. It's an interesting thing. Wasn't it Vayancha Vayarivecha by the Mon? What was the idea of the man? Vayancha vayarivecha. It means that it was the man apparently was not really satisfied. But the pshat is like this. The pshat, that's an interesting pasuk. And the pasuk is saying is that vayyancha vayari vecha vayachilcha tamon asher lo yadato. It means that the only way that a person, the method through which a person can arrive at perfection, is through the ability not to engage in Mosros, to deny Mosros. In other words, it's not a very popular kind of a perfection. But Chazal say that a person kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach, which means a person has to be able to say, no, I'm not going to take this taiva. That's vayancha vayarvecha. The mon reflects that idea. Because the mon is what the person needs. And velo hedif hamarba. That's right. More, he grabbed more, he didn't gain anything. Vamamit lo hechsir. And to take less for a person to be an ascetic and not take enough, that's also wrong. That was the mon. Velo hedif hamarba vamamit lo hechsir. Very difficult. Yadis doesn't cater to any kind of emotional satisfaction. See, a person that's an ascetic, he has a certain ego satisfaction that he's righteous, he's religious. The difficulty with the Yahadis is that it doesn't allow you to have either one. Either the sense of feeling great, sense of power, or the sense of luxury, which is one emotional extreme. Or on the contrary, some people derive it's a negative, but it's the same source. Namely, that the person is a very religious person, they don't eat much, they're ascetic. That's another kind. That either way, that's v'lo hedif amarba v'amamit lo hechsir. That either way is bad. That's v'yancho v'yarivacho. So the mon really is to teach a person not to be shot of b'taylo. That a person has to have the ability to be able to decline a taiva. It means that is perfection. If a person can't do that, if a person thinks that just because everything is mutter, so he can indulge and engage in all taivas as long as it's mutter, then he cannot attain perfection. See, v'rom levavecha v'shachachta asar Hashem elokecha is a natural result of that. That's what it says, vayancha vayarivecha vayachilcha saman ashol yadata. It means that God taught Klal Yisrael the idea that they must not be involved in Mosros. Vayancha vayarivecha vayachilcha saman ashol yadata. So if a person cannot refrain, a person who just engages in taivas just because it's mutter, because they can afford it, this is really the platform upon which v'rom levavecha v'shachachta asar Hashem elokecha. It's a significant thing. It's not like people imagine. Because people imagine that the whole perfection is to do mitzvahs. So if I do mitzvahs, so that means I can indulge in any type as long as it's mutter. On the contrary, that's what God wants. God wants me to enjoy life. But Yehuda says, "Al kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach." A person has to be able to say, "No, I can afford this luxury. I can engage in this luxury, but I turn it down because this is an imperfection. It's an imperfection, and I refuse to. I refuse to enjoy this. I refuse to take this enjoyment. I limit kadesh atzmacha b'mutalach." To limit one's enjoyments is a big yisod. That's the yisod of the mon. People, unfortunately, don't take it's easier to take mitzvahs seriously, because mitzvahs you do, a person feels he did something, so God will repay him. Which is not exactly the way it works, but people feel that way. But when it comes to the themes of perfection themselves, which the Torah demands, there it becomes more difficult. But that's really what the pasuk says. The interesting thing is, the elaboration of this idea is found in Sefer Tehillah. It's an amazing thing. The two themes. One is Avodah Zarah, and you'll see the two themes, by the way, are always placed together. You see, like, for instance, after the whole parsha about man's sense of self-esteem, over-evaluation of himself, of the Ramal of Avecha, the whole parsha, the Madvar Kochel, and that parsha deals exclusively with this trait in man. Then it says, V'zachad Hashem Akecha, Kirnos L'chokach, L'as Haschoyel, L'man Hakem Es Brisa, Shemish B'la Vesecha Kem Azeh. And the purpose of why he gave you the Chachma and the Eitzah in order to be successful is only one reason, L'man Hakem Es Brisa, that's the whole purpose of it. So he gave it to you, and he gave you the ability, and you deny your Kafi Tov. But that's the end of that parsha. Next parsha, V'hoyom Shechoch Tishkach Esad Hashem Akecha, V'alachto Acharei Elohim Acherim, V'avadatom V'shtachavisu Lahem. Haidosi V'cham Ayom Kiyove Tovedon. Why is it repeated again over here? Because he's showing you that man's nature is such. The Torah, by the way, has a very great respect for the difficulty that man encounters in being perfected. The Torah does not make light of it. The shallow philosophies and shallow religions of man, they make light of these. They say, just do this. What is the simple thing? Just do it. Yahadus will tell you how bad it is and how it destroys a person, but it does respect very much the fact that it's extremely difficult. For instance, in Tehillim Chaf Hei. In Tehillim Chaf Hei, you have David HaMelech. And who's greater than David HaMelech for us, I mean, as a Malamed? David the Mashiach Tzidkecha. So in Tehillim Chaf Hei, Pasuk says, interesting Pasuk, beautiful. He says, I'm sorry, it's Chaf Vav, I made a mistake, it's Tehillim Chaf Vav, where he says, the pasuk comes to a climax in pasuk tesvav, but really you have to read the sukkim before. Tov yoshad Hashem al kin yirach atoyim badorach yadrech anovim b'mishpot v'yilameid anovim darko. So God teaches those who are anovim. He teaches them His way. Kol orchas ad Hashem chesed v'emes l'notz of risa dozo. Then he says, sod Hashem li'reyov. Ain't I tomid el adashem? He says, and you have to read the other two. But just ain't I tomid el adashem? Ki hu yotzi me reshes ragloi? Because he will remove my feet from the snares, from the net, from the snares. What is the snare? So he says. So Ibn Ezra says. Yeah. Just a second. Yeah. He says, "Hanochom beinai ki tame reshes raglai taivas hayetzahara." He says, "The taiva yetzahara v'haneshomo nispeses bereshes hataiva." The soul is caught up in the net of the taiva. The zed derech mashal. The im Hashem lo yazreyu, and if God doesn't help him, ein lo el yodov lotzeis mea resha al kein hu yotzi. Hu yotzi mea resha. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it means to say that the Yahada says two things. At first, it tells a person how wrong the way of life that is not in line with reality is, but at the same time, it doesn't underestimate the difficulty. It doesn't underestimate the difficulty in doing it. It doesn't underestimate the power of the Yetzer. And it, as a matter of fact, it makes it mandatory that the person should be mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should help him in this challenge. It's an amazing thing. That's what Ibn Ezra says. It says, Ein I tomed el Hashem ki yoti mereshes ragla. It means from the reshes of his own yetzer. He says, Vim Hashem lo yazreyu, Ein lo el yodov lotzeis mea resha. Al kein hu yotzi. Says, ki hu yotzi mereshes ragla. It's an amazing thing. Amazing. It means to say that the only way that the individual can escape, the Torah recognizes that the way of the Russia is crazy. It's crazy, it's unrealistic, but as crazy as it is, it doesn't mean it's easy to avoid it. It's not the same thing. It's crazy, and when you look at it, you see it's worthless, it's destructive, ruins his life, everything bad, and the Torah, the opposite, everything is good, and it's all chachma, and the whole Derech HaChaim is unbelievably sensible, true, successful, but nevertheless, the difficulty, as clear as it is, the difficulty is not reduced. The difficulty is immense. How difficult is it? It's so immense that without Yeshua's Hashem, he can't do it on his own. It's an amazing thing. Amazing concept in Yardif. Yeah. A person could say he doesn't have Yeshua's Hashem, it's not his fault. But it is his fault because he didn't seek Yeshua's Hashem. It means that a person that seeks Yeshua's Hashem in this manner will be guaranteed to receive it. That's after. In other words, the whole road to perfection, according to Yadis, is a very unique one. It means a person has to use his chokhmah, and he has to be able to analyze life and understand the true Derech HaChaim, how the benefits of the true Derech HaChaim stand in opposition to the catastrophe of evil. He has to see it with his mind, with his mind's eye, see it clearly, and then he has to realize that to live that way, as clear as it is at this moment, the struggle is immense, and there's only one way that he can be successful, and that is to be mispallel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help him in the challenge, and then through Yeshua Hashem he can be successful, and in this there will always be an answer to his tefillah. That's really the whole Sefer Torah. Sefer Torah, God always, he feels convinced and he's certain that God answers this tefillah. How can a person be certain? He can't be certain. You can't be certain about a particular. A person who's fallen for a certain particular thing, you don't know. You're not allowed to feel that you daven, you must fall, and therefore whatever you must fall for is going to happen. That the Gemara says, the person is not allowed to feel that way. That's even tefillah. That brings a person to depression. Because a person can't know the Derech Hashem, what are going to do that? That's impossible. But this he can be certain of. If a person studies the Derech HaChaim of Torah, he understands it, he uses his chokhmah, he sees how correct it is and how beneficial it is, and he sees, that's what Al-Kain Yom HaMoshe L'Boruch Cheshbon, Schar Mitzvah K'neged Avera, he weighs both sides and understands the good and understands evil, and he sees clearly which lifestyle is the beneficial one, the one that will lead him to true happiness. He understands it. Then he has to realize that the struggle is immense. Now the struggle begins. And this struggle can only be accomplished successfully. He can only emerge successfully from that struggle through Yeshua Hashem, through Tefillah. Tefillah is the only way he could be successful. That's the philosophy of Yadis. It's an amazing thing. Yes? This piece of this is the yeah. Long's it. Atachon Lorandas. Honeni Mikhodemin Askel. It means the spawl of Arakash Baruch should give you ideas. That somehow you should, as a person get ideas, a person gets ideas in many ways. Sometimes you meet somebody in the street, they tell you, they mention something, a dvar, ask you, a dvar chokhmah, something, it brings you to a, can open up our whole world. I mean, Chaneni mitchad Debi Damaskel. Hashiveinu avinu l'sar secha, v'achzireinu b'shuva shleimu l'fonecha. That's the tefillah. That's the tefillah. Slach l'anu v'gizotana. All the tefillahs. But that's really the whole Sefer Tilim. That's the Sefer Tilim. And that a person can be sure, can be certain, that Korav Hashem l'chol Korav l'chol Hashem yikru v'emes. That's a fact. That's not Ian Tefillah. If a person feels that God answers him in that manner, that is not Ian Tefillah. That is not the Isser of thinking that just because you must fall for something, you're going to get it. That's in a physical particular. But in the striving towards perfection, that's 100%. That's a havtacha that God will always answer him and will always help him and will always help him to be successful in that specific challenge. That's guaranteed. Al-Kain the Yerachatayim L'Meshva. That's the Pesukim in Tehillim Chavav. It's an interesting thing. That's really the, I mean, it's essentially Yashkaf Zayadus. But the two things that the Torah is against, and that's the Blial, the equation, is those two themes. The sense, it's an interesting, I mean, if you look at this, I see the Torah isolates them. It doesn't mix them together, it isolates them. But a lot of the themes in the Torah are expanded, the Navi expands on them. And the expansion of the theme of the financial sense of power, the economic power that man has, is expanded upon in one essentially. You know what it is? Come on, everybody says it. Everybody smells it. Say it in the base level. Okay? Mamnaseach Livnei Karach Mizmar. Tillim Mem Tess. Shimon Zos Kol Amim Azinu Kol Yoshei Cholim. I mean, that's really, that Perek in Tehillim is essentially the one that deals with this. And it's appropriate that, I don't know, if only God didn't hold it, you say Tehillim, you're allowed to say Tehillim, there's only God Sheet there was, that's not an appropriate minute. But nevertheless, the fact is the minig is there, and if you're going to say it, this is obviously this is the correct this is the situation which they saw fit. I mean, Chacham saw fit to institute this capital tomb, and it's an appropriate one. But in the Tehillim, in this parak of Tehillim, you see, it's an interesting thing. It says, just mention one or two. By the way, this is not just for Kol Yisrael. It says Shimuzos Kol Ha'amim Hazinu Kol Yoshvei Choled Gam Bnei Adam Gam Bnei Yesh. It means for everybody, all of humanity. Gam Bnei Adam means the sons of Avraham Avinu, us, and Bnei Yesh is the Bnei Noach. So it says Ish Tzadik. So then it says, "Ata lamashal ozni eftach pechina tchidasi loma ira bimeira." Why should I be afraid of bad times? And he answers, "Avona keva yisubeni." What's avona keva yisubeni? So Rashi says, he says like this. He says, "Lefisha avona keva yisubeni avona she'ani dosh ba'ekev." Sha'ani mezalzel b'hem she'ein be'enai averos kalos hein mashiach osi begin. Okay, so it means the things that people, it's interesting, the avonos that people are dosh be'ikvam, that those are the things that ultimately are going to destroy my destiny. You see, those are the things that you're supposed to be afraid of. V'hoya eikev tishmon, Chazal say. Mitzvah sherem dosh be'ikvav. So what do you mean? Why is that so? I mean, why is that? Just so happens that way that I picked the wrong ones? No, it means that that's the nature of man. It means the nature of man, the nature of the Yetzirah is that he will always, he will cause man, the instinctual part of man will cause him to choose things that go in line with his nature, you see. So things that is dosh be'ikvav don't seem bad. Like we mentioned before, a person will be very nizhar when it comes to doing acts of religiosity. I mean, but when it comes to ve'elam mishpatim asher tasim lefneihem, that's a different problem already. Then it comes to then he's dosh be'ikvav. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, davening, adding to things which he's not chayef to do, but which make him feel that he's very religious, there he's careful. But when it comes to, like we mentioned before, removing oneself from mosros, saying to oneself that I can afford a better car, but I'm not going to drive that better car because that will corrupt, that could corrupt my nature, that's a difficult, that's already a difficult thing. That's what am I doing wrong? Adam dash be'ikvav. You see, a person by nature will always downplay those things which are most serious. That's the midas adam. It's not an accident, not a coincidence, but it means that's the nature of man. That a person is blinded by the yetzer, so therefore he will be dash be'ikvav. He'll downplay the areas which are the most powerful. The areas which are the most powerful, he by nature will have to downplay. Why? Because he can't face them, because in order to face them, it would cause him to have a recognition which would not be satisfactory. You see, so it's a natural cause and effect. It's not a happenstance. It means a natural cause and effect. That's the way man is. So it really is. So the certain glance is Abotchim al Chelom Uverov Oshrom Yishalalu. I mean, that's basically Varong Lavecha. Habotchem al Chelem of Rav Asher Mishalalu. It means that the individual prides himself with his material wealth, with his economic and his economic sense of power. I mean, that's. I mean, it couldn't be more clear. Then the pasuk says, "V'yeka pidyon nafshom." It says, "V'chio lo netzach lo yira hashachas." V'chio, it's amazing. V'chio, what does it mean? V'chio lo netzach lo. Everybody says the basic. What does it mean? V'chio lo netzach lo yira hashachas. It means that, in line with that same phenomenon of being boteach ba'ashram and being mishalel, being feeling a sense of security because of their financial circumstance, that's one, and being mishalel and taking pride in their economic situation, in line with that is the idea of the Chiyo Lenetzach, the fantasy of man's immortality. The Yahadus tied them both together inextricably. It's an amazing thing. That one is one, and you can't have one without the other. That the empire builder cannot really think tomorrow he may die. It's a tati disaster. He must push that idea out of his mind. Okay, I understand that there's a that's basically a human phenomenon. It's impossible to have one without the other. That's the Yahadus ties them together. I mean, can you have a better description of what psychologists today call psychologists studying the mind? They came up with a term, megalomania. And megalomania, this is a perfect description. This is basically the perfect description of the Chiyo Lonetzach. He thinks he's lo yira hashachas. He's never going to see his own destruction. He'll never die. Then, of course, Kiyur HaChom Yemusu Yachad Ksil Vavaya Vedu Vozvo Lacherim Chelom. And even though he sees that others die and they leave over their wealth to others, they don't have anything from it. Kir Bombatemo La'olam Mishkinosam L'dor V'dor Kor V'shmosam Alei Adamos. It means their homes are left as like I mentioned last week, are left as temples to the individual. The individual is long gone. But the amazing thing is, he says, that Zed Darkom Keselomo Vacharehem Bethiem Yitzusela. This is an amazing thing. That says, they see it's nonsensical. You see that this great industrialist that left this beautiful palace, he's gone a long time. The palace is still here. But as irrational as it is, they will still participate in the praise of the individual and consider as if what he did makes sense, even though it really is the height of stupidity and lunacy. But nevertheless, you see, this is Zed Darkom Keselomo. They see that this is Kesel, doesn't make any sense. But Vachareyem Bethiyem Yitzhasela. But they still will keep on going on praising that same value system. It's an amazing thing. I mean, you see, for instance, even though everybody sees the tragedies in the Kennedy family and the riches of the elder Kennedy and how their lives were destroyed and the corruption and the everything, still Vachareyem Bethiyem Yitzhasela. But they still consider this is still a value, still praise, the way of life, people have respect for this, because even though it's Zed Narkom Kesel Lomo, it still does not a contradiction to Vachareyem Bethiyem Yitzhasela. I mean, that's basically the pasuk. The pasuk shows the stubbornness. You're correct. In spite of the fact that the hypocrisy and the corruption and the anti-Semitism and the viciousness and it has all been uncovered and everybody knows that, doesn't matter. But Karvish Mosam Aleya Domos, the name and the fame and the glory will still continue. It does not interfere at all. That's basically the puzzle. Zed Darkon Kessel, as much as it's Kessel and stupid and idiotic, and any human being, if you confront them and you talk to them logically, will admit it, but still, Acharem Bethiyem Yitzhasela. That's basically, that's what the Navi says. That's what the Dvar Malach says. So it shows you really, this, as I said before, Yahadus does never underestimates the strength of the emotion. It points it out. It's very intent on pointing it out and showing man how this is craziness. And now on the contrary, a person should feel sorry for such individuals because they've lost their whole lives and they've missed the whole purpose of human existence. And they were corrupt and they didn't have good lives and they had terrible unhappiness and terrible suffering and torture that was a result of their own doing. Zedakom Kesalamo. Yadus points it out and makes it clear, but at the same time it recognizes how powerful the trend is, and that's the nature of man. Amazing. That's the godless of Yadus. Yadus does not make light of it, but it shows you at the same time how absurd and how ridiculous it is. You see. But basically, I just want to conclude with one idea. By the way, there's two. I mean, the reason everybody says you always say it's the base level. You at least have an idea of what it means. So there's two psukim here that almost look the same, but they're not. One is v'adam bikar bal yolin nimshal kabehemos nidmu, and then it's adam bikar v'lo yovin nimshal kabehemos nidmu. Not the same. Almost the same, but not the same. V'adam bikar bal yolin means a person will not lie in glory. Of course, when a person's dead, he's nothing. I mean, so where's the glory? It's just a pure fantasy. A person thinks that somehow or other, after he's dead, he's going to get glory. He's nothing, he decays, he's zero, he's nothing. V'adam bikar bal yolin. He can't lie in death, in the grave, he can't lie in glory. Nim shal kabhemos nidmu. In that respect, he's just like a behema. And so far as that's concerned, he's like that. The other one is v'adam bikar v'lo yovin, that the glory of man prevents him from understanding. Adam bikar, a person in his self-glorification, the lo yovin. This is a contradiction. He cannot understand. It's off core of the chokma. The involvement in his own self-glorification is a tarted asasri to being a yovin. Nimshal kabemos nidmo. In that respect, he's just like a behemah during his lifetime. You see, two psukim, but you need to everything. Well, I just want to conclude one thing: that Yahadus single out these two themes. And it's in Kol HaTorah, it's in Shemitah, and it's in Tzedakah, and it's Avodah Zarah. But these two things are singled out in Yahadus as the two things the Torah is against. V'ram l'vavecha and v'avad etem l'machem. Those two things, the Torah says, that's the enemy of the Derech HaChaim of Yahadus. Those two things. Why is it that those two things are the enemy? It's an interesting thing. It just happens to be. But those are the two things. But the answer is like this. The answer, I believe, has to do with the nature of man. The nature of man. Because the nature of man is that he lives in two states. Either he lives in a secure state or in an insecure state. And there's no in between. When he's secure, when things are good and he feels secure, so then the energy is directed towards the wish that security should be from himself. And that he is not reliant on God. You see, that's the instinctual part of man. That's the Ramla Vavacha. But then man lives in another state, the insecure state, where things aren't good, he becomes frightened, he's insecure. What does he do when he becomes frightened? Then he projects onto reality institutions from his own mind, imaginary entities, in order to protect them. You see? Because he doesn't want to recognize the real source of reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So man exists in two states, the secure state and the insecure. There's a chait for the secure state, that's v'rom levavecha, and they're both nisyanos. And then there's the chait for the insecure state, where man is nervous, he's afraid, he's frightened. You see, then he starts looking for other mystical powers to protect him, instead of turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in the converse, when he's secure, he tries to forget that he really is nothing. He's really a creature of Anochi Alpha Vapor. He's Kamisha Ainah, like Chazal say, Ainah Tarim Skaim, Elabimisha Shemachir, that's when Kamisha Ainah wants to forget about that. And he looks